Now, he's going to list here from verse 10 through 14. He's going to give a list, a catalog of the reasons that God's going to destroy them. That is, he's going to spell it out. The pride of life, we said, is the great sin. But as we've already indicated, it leads to the committing of other sins. You see, your philosophy of life, friends, is going to gradually work its way down into your fingers and your feet and your eyes and all of your senses. And you're going to express that philosophy in some way. And if you're godless, you're going to lead a godless life. If you are godly, you're going to lead a godly life. That naturally follows. Now, God mentions here, actually, five different reasons of why he judges them. They committed certain acts, and five acts are mentioned here, and he spells it out. But God was to punish them, and he was to punish them in two different ways. He was to send them into captivity, just as he did the nation Israel. But with this exception, that the nation Israel would return and be a people as they are today. But there would come a time when the Edomites would cease being a nation, and they would never become a nation again. Never again. Now, somebody's going to raise the question, do you think that there are any Edomites around today? No, they're not around today. They intermarried with the Ishmaelites and the others there of the desert, and that would be part of the Arab world today. There's a difference in Arabs, by the way, and that would explain that difference. You'd find them over there among the Arabs today, and again, still the enemy of the nation Israel. Now, Obadiah is a prophecy that answers a very important question. Why did God say it, the last book of the Old Testament, that Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved? Now, he never said that in Genesis. He waited until both became a nation. And you find that now God puts Esau under the microscope and he's a great nation. And the overweening sin of this nation was the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Now, I'm sure that gave folk quite a letdown because a great many people, they just don't consider pride as being a great sin. And we made a contrast between murder and lying and stealing. And a great many people would say, well, a proud man, it's bad that he's proud, but that's not as bad as being a murderer. God says it's worse than being a murderer. It's worse than being an alcoholic, to be a man lifted up by pride. And God says he hates a proud heart. He's made that very clear in the Word of God. God gives grace to the humble, but the proud, he can do nothing with them at all. And we discovered that pride is an attitude. Pride of heart is an attitude of a life that declares its ability to live without God. God hates that. This is his universe, and he is to be worshipped. He is to be praised. He is to be recognized. And when a man, a little creature down here, no bigger than a little bug in God's great vast universe, when that little creature lifts himself up in pride, God says he hates it. Now, God loves you, but God hates your pride. And if you are eaten up with it, may I say to you, there's nothing God can do with you at all. Now, the question arises, it's an attitude. A man can be proud and maybe not reveal it. However, I do think that this is one sin of the life that you can't conceal. There are certain things you can conceal. You can conceal hatred. You can conceal lust. But you cannot conceal pride very long. It's going to break out like a running cancer because of the fact that it is such a tremendous driving force in man. Now, the attitude of the life will lead to action of the life. Now, the thing that Obadiah does, he now gives a catalog of the actions that are derived from the pride of the heart. And these are the terrible sins that come from that. Now, you must remember that Esau and Jacob were brothers. They were twin brothers. They were not identical twins. They were actually opposite twins. But they were twins, and they grew up in the same family, same father and mother. And there was a struggle from the very beginning. There was a hatred and a bitterness that was never healed, and was never healed when they became two great nations. And we find, though, that God had something to say to his people about their relationship to Edom. And I want to turn to one of the verses of Scripture. For instance, Psalm 137, verse 7. He says, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof." And Edom, instead of befriending Israel in their dark hour when the Babylonians destroyed their nation, why, they stood on the sidelines. In fact, they became the cheering section and urged them on. But when you go way back in their history to Deuteronomy 23, verse 7, and I'd like to read this to you because this is very interesting. God said to them at the beginning, when they came into that land, "Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he's thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a sojourner in his land." But the tie with the Edomite was greater. He's your brother, the blood brother. And because of that, God says that you're not to hate him. And yet we see that Edom manifested that bitterness and hatred throughout the entire length and extent of the nation. And they were a proud people in the rock-hewn city of Petra, that city that was in that Rocky Mountain stronghold, that fortress that could not be taken. And they thought they could not be destroyed. And they were guilty now of certain things. And there are five specific actions that are mentioned here that are derived from pride, an attitude of the life, to live without God.